Thanks to the movie Jaws and the Discovery Channel's Shark Week, sharks sadly have a very scary but undeserved reputation with humans. What you might not be aware of, however, is that ingredients from sharks are part of many products that we humans use, including vaccines. With all the focus on finding a vaccination for COVID-19, scientists and conservationists are now concerned about the potential need to kill hundreds of thousands of sharks to produce a vaccine against COVID-19. Stephanie Brendel is the founder and executive director of Shark Allies in California, and I spoke with her recently about the effort to create awareness and convince pharmaceutical companies to consider alternatives. Stephanie, can you tell us how and why shark ingredients are used in vaccines and other products?
Yes, a shark oil is turned into shark squalene, and squalene is used in cosmetics and also as an adjuvant in vaccines. It has been used in flu vaccines before. It's not in every vaccine, but an adjuvant basically is used in some vaccines that it serves as a booster. It stimulates the immune system, and it also allows for less of the antigen to be used. So essentially, all the antigen will go a lot further and can make more vaccines. So adjuvants are a great thing. The problem is when an adjuvant that is potentially needs to be used for a global supply is based on a wild animal population, then that is potentially, well, it's unsustainable over the long range. It may not be immediately, a problem, and nobody's going out and instantly killing 500,000 sharks. That's a little bit of a misunderstanding from headlines. We understand that nobody is out there to hunt them down right now. But the problem is that the vaccine market is so, it's not very transparent where and when sharks are used and how many will be in production. If it's not very likely that, all the vaccines for COVID will have shark adjuvants in them. But the problem is that we have coronaviruses for many more years to come. And each time there's a new vaccine developed, and maybe it will have to be given seasonally, it just continues and multiplies the problem, basically.
So are there non-animal alternatives to shark squalene that can be used, and are they just as effective?
Yes, from all the research and from all the communications that we've had with scientists and chemists and even vaccine and squalene producers. First of all, yes, squalene can be made from many sources, many plant sources, algae, yeast, bacteria, sugarcane, amaranth, olives, that all those plants can make high quality squalene. The way squalene becomes vaccine grade is really lies in the purification process. And that is similarly difficult or easy, whether you take it from a plant or from an animal. But essentially, by the time oil gets turned into squalene, the compounds and the parts of that is exactly the same, whether you use a plant or an animal. And obviously for cosmetics industry, they've already been switching over to plant-based squalene in many cases because it is, people are more conscientious about it. And it is as effective. And from just the most recent conversations I've had with alternative vaccine producers in the biotech area, they say that the vaccine, that the squalene that they can produce, they can do 1 billion doses a month, and it is fully controlled, synthesized sugarcane squalene that can be reproduced at the same level over and over again. It's scalable, and apparently it can directly replace shark squalene in adjuvants and not just in cosmetics. So the alternatives are available. It's the willingness to switch over and let go of what has been done. Change is always hard. There's always cost involved. We don't say that it isn't, but the excuse that it is cheaper and easier to do is really not usually how conscientious.
Right. Yeah, I was going to ask you. Yeah. Well, why is it that the pharmaceutical companies won't consider using these alternatives first? It just seems like it would be the right thing to do.
I think it's just been available and hasn't been questioned. And I think that nobody has necessarily done it out of ill will. I don't think anybody's going out and going, I'm going to kill some sharks to make potions. You know, I think it's just been available. Maybe the awareness that what impact it has. Part of it is not being aware, doing business as usual, not seeing the reason why one should switch. And also the perception that shark oil and squalene is easy and cheap to come by, and they're being told that it's sustainable, it's just a byproduct, don't worry about it, those sharks would die anyway.
So they're being told that by the fishing industry?
I mean, that's generally what happens with all shark products. You know, don't worry about the fins. We're catching them for meat anyway. And then the meat guys say, well, you know, we're catching meat sharks, but if we don't sell the fins, it's not worth it. And then the cosmetics industry will say, oh, don't look at us because the fin guys are much worse. And then, you know, and wow. the vaccine guys say, oh, don't look at us because the cosmetics guys are much worse. The fact remains that the target list of sharks for shark liver oil is pretty extensive. And a lot of those sharks are endangered species or on CITES listings. And only a few of them are meat sharks. So what are those sharks being taken for in the first place? Well, maybe they are being taken for fins and then the byproduct are livers. But that's a problem in itself. You know, one bad product justifying another product doesn't make it a good product. Two wrongs don't make a right. That is the problem. Each product that you take from the animal encourages this overfishing of sharks and the, you know, of 100 plus million sharks being taken globally every year. So everybody likes to point at someone else, but I think each industry has to own their own responsibility, especially when there are alternatives. We're not losing human lives. We're not holding up a vaccine. Nothing bad happens to humans if we replace this adjuvant with plant-derived. There are solutions, and that's what we're getting at.
Well, you touched on this a little bit about the shark finning industry for shark fin soup. A lot of people are aware of that, and their fins are just cut off sometimes, and the sharks are thrown back into the ocean to die. Maybe they are used for meat. But the extraction and harvesting of sharks for vaccines can also be like equally as cruel for expediency, right? Can you explain how this happens sometimes?
In some cases, we've become aware of this practice of livering where sharks that are pulled up they could technically just let them go because they're not good for meat or for fins, but they are being, you know, their livers are taken. And of course, when you cut a shark open and take their liver, they die. It's, you know, especially in the commercial fishing industry, things happen very quickly. They don't take great pains to make sure the animal has a peaceful
humane death. Yeah.
It's pretty quick slice and dice and throw the rest away. But, you know, whether it is a byproduct or whether it is targeted, the fact that, you know, some of the rarest deep water species of sharks that are really not edible, but they have extremely large livers, if they're not already being targeted, they could surely be targeted, because when you have an animal that has 20 to 30% of their body weight is oil, is liver, and that liver is filled with oil that you want, somebody that, you know, especially people that don't value sharks as anything important, and it's just some product that they want to get, it's a very easy incentive to get that animal that could normally be let go if it was bycatch or that wouldn't even be targeted.
You know, I want to circle back to something you touched on a little bit ago. To give people some perspective, you and other conservationists, activists, and scientists are involved in trying to stop this use. You're not in any way saying that the sharks are more important than creating a vaccine or than saving human lives. Can you explain a little bit your position on this?
Sure. I think the knee-jerk reaction immediately is when you say, please don't use this in such and such product, immediately people shut down and say, you're taking something away from us, or you're trying to put sharks in front of human health or human survival. In this case, that's not at all the case. And in the case of the vaccines, we didn't even start this until we knew that there are viable alternatives. So really what it means is that we can take care of humans and of sharks at the same time. Not a single person will have to go without a vaccine because we're working on this campaign. We've said from the beginning, if the first round of vaccines have to contain shark because this is where the testing is going, well, then so be it. it. But what we're saying is the sooner we are starting to look at alternatives, because then they have to be tested and then the industry has to accept them. And then, you know, agencies like the FDA have to approve things. There's still a long road to go. And the longer we wait, the more we rely on this resource that is very limited. And that limited resource will become more limited. And then it's also not really a secure supply. And it will get to the point where the price of that oil will go up because it becomes more rare. And then it also could limit how many doses you can make. What if the very best COVID vaccine turns out to be the one that is adjuvanted? Wouldn't it be great if we could mass produce it like crazy, consistently, from something that we don't have to take from a wild animal, that doesn't have to be overfished? Wouldn't that be a much better solution? Because in the end, that would be better for humans too, because we would know it is something we can reproduce over and over and over. When people talk about harvesting sharks, it's a really bad term because we don't grow sharks. We just go out and get them. And harvest implies that it's something that you can just, that grows back, and it doesn't. So we can't farm them. We can't grow them. They don't grow back their liver. They don't grow back their fins. And the recovery and restoration of shark populations in the ocean is very slow. Once you take out a whole generation of breeding adults, it takes a long time for new adults to come along, because the way they grow and mature, more like mammals, you know, when you think of whales or humans, they have to be in their teenage years before they have young, and then they only have, you know, a litter every other year potentially. So this is not like tuna, who, you know, tuna reproduces within the first year and thousands of eggs. So if you leave tuna, and even they are endangered, but if you leave them alone for a couple of years, they can bounce back fairly quickly.
Right.
But sharks do not, because they evolved to be hunters, not to be hunted.
Sharks, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, they have a little bit of a PR problem. Can you explain why sharks are so essential to the ecosystem of the ocean, and how endangered are some of the species at this point?
Well, our planet is covered by ocean 70%, and it's the engine of our planet. So what happens in the ocean is very important. To have biodiversity in the ocean is incredibly important, because, you know, we've done a pretty bad job at keeping that biodiversity on land, but then we invent things like, okay, farms, fences, even robot technology. We kind of try to make up for our shortcomings on land. We're not going to be able to do that in the ocean. Sharks have evolved over millions of years to fill a very important part in most ecosystems at any depth and in any part of the ocean. And they're the regulators. If you can think of them as the white blood cells of the ocean, where they take out the diseased, the dead, the dying. They make sure that, you know, diseases won't spread to other populations. This affects everything from the very largest animals down to the coral reef, because it affects reef grazers, and which then affect algae growth and coral. So you take sharks out of the equation, it can have a cascading effect all the way down to maybe the crustaceans and the food fish that you want to catch. So you can absolutely not love sharks, but still see how important they are.
You know, you mentioned a little earlier that the headline of, you know, as many as 500,000 sharks could be killed for a COVID-19 vaccine is a little bit misleading. Can you give me a better interpretation of what could possibly happen with regard to this?
Yeah. So this number was sort of like giving the COVID vaccine a reference. Mm-hmm. But when people say that's too many, I'm like, well, we didn't even add up all the other use and the continued use, because we don't know that the first vaccine coming out is going to actually help everyone. Maybe only 50% of the people respond to it. We don't know if this is going to be a seasonal shot. Nobody says, people think they're going to get one vaccine for COVID and then we're done. It could be seasonal, like a flu vaccine. So are we going to get COVID vaccine shots like we do the flu every year? So the trajectory of this is pretty unpredictable. And it's, you know, a couple 100,000 sharks equivalent. We're not saying they're only taken for a vaccine, but the equivalent of that could easily multiply into many more. We know that the trajectory is when more vaccine adjuvants that are made from sharks are being patented and used, then they will be promoted and then they will be used, which is just a limited unsustainable practice that we should change sooner or later.
Right. Well, and it's good to get in front of it before the system already gets moving.
I mean, with endangered species, what is our track record? We are always complaining and doing nothing until they have to be on the list. So we're saying, why don't we get ahead of a problem for once? I mean, we're not even really truly ahead. We're just sort of potentially have a chance to redirect this. But why do we have to wait until we have definitive proof that, yes, this is going to be a bad thing?
If you'd like to learn more about the shark conservation effort and the use of shark products in COVID-19 vaccines and other products, you can go to sharkallies.com. For KBOO News, I'm Michelle Coppola.